Well, I think when people look back years from now on the final score, it's going to be a little deceiving as to what went on. Full credit to the Internationals for what they did in Sunday singles. They showed well. I'm wondering though, Dick, was it so much that they showed well, or did the Americans maybe not intentionally come in? Maybe, not quite as sharp as they were in the previous few days.
Well, I think that. First of all, I think that the Americans knew that they had this one. This tournament was basically over yesterday, and there's no doubt about that. So I don't think there was any chance that they were going to ever be in a position. And at the same time, I believe that the international team, these are excellent players, and they did get their rear ends handed to them in competition. Yeah. But they're very proud, and none of them wanted to go down. I mean, you fight all the way, and we watched an international team play really well, and they won today's match. But it was too little, too late.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because yesterday, when I say yesterday, we're talking Saturday. Johnny Miller on NBC brought up the thing about the ratings on NBC aren't going to be too good on Sunday, but. Which shocked me, and I think shocked them as well. But, as it turned out, it was pretty entertaining today.
Well, good for Johnny. I mean, he says it the way he is. The reason why he's as good as he is because he doesn't have a filter, and his non-filter can cut both ways. So good on him for that. I think that's wonderful. Yeah. I think the ratings probably were those of us who were very into golf. We wanted to watch this. We wanted to see how these guys are going to react. And I think, quite frankly, a lot of these, as Nick Price said, there's a lot of young players in here, and they're going to remember this. They don't like getting their asses kicked.
Yeah.
And, those are inspiring moments, and I think it's going to add to the international team players that, Great Britain and Ireland, before they brought into Europe, they got their rear ends handed to them every year.
Right.
And you don't forget those things. So those things do have a tendency in the future to build inspiration.
Right.
And I think it's just one layer of the onion in the future of the President's Cup. And I hope they don't do anything drastic and, kill it because, it barely made it to the final round this year.
Right, well... Yeah, but let's take a guy like Adam Hadwin. I mean, obviously we're talking from a Canadian perspective here. He lost to Phil Mickelson, not a surprise. But what's a guy like Adam take away from this? I mean, this is really baptism under fire. I mean, you come out against a strong American team, with the shadow of the Statue of Liberty coming down on you and the Manhattan skyline off in the distance. What does Adam take away from this, do you think?
He takes away an enormous amount of experience. We all know, and we talk about it constantly, what a great year he had, opening it up with a 59,
right.
Winning, making the top 30. He's exempt to all the majors next year. He's taken the position as Canada's best player on the PGA Tour.
Right.
Goes, makes the President's Cup, performs well in the President's Cup. But from the international team's point of view, plays Phil Mickelson. All these things build to his brand value.
Right.
It makes him feel more comfortable for a number of reasons. Number one, that he's got this experience, so the next time he goes into it, he knows what to expect, and he can build on it. So it helps him with his belief, his confidence in himself. And I just hope that he's able to move into next year because, quite often guys who have a real good year, they kind of take things for granted and let it slide.
Right.
I'm hoping that that Adam is going to really start to push next year, get a little bit better, and kind of follow his ascent as he has been, and that's moving forward. And hopefully we can see him in contentions in majors, and this experience will help him there. Hopefully to win some majors in the future.
Well, I'm not sure if this will be a good thing or a bad thing, but, I remember a few years ago after Adam did so well at Shaughnessy in the Canadian Open, 2011, he tied for fourth, and he came out and he struggled on the web.com, the next few years. And he told me at the time, that maybe that was, you know, he was struggling because, you know, he came in after that Canadian Open. It wasn't only the Canadian Open. He actually had some good finishes on the PGA Tour after that as well. And, you know, maybe he kind of took it for granted. And, you know, so maybe that trial by fire back on the web.com tour is actually going to serve him positively.
Well, and this is a tribute to how well his mind, his mindset is, because everyone who's had have successes, you know, and then have some thereafter, they take an assumption that things are going to come easy, or the hard work's over, then they fall into a lapse and perform poorly, and then how they react to that? Are they going to just go? You know, are they going to react to it as a learning experience, or are they going to react to it like? You know, I'm getting bad breaks. So the path that he takes is the path to success.
Yeah.
He's not satisfied with what he's got. He's continually, able to continue the ascent up. And also, I mean, watching him, you know, all we got to do is look at his body language in the President's Cup. He doesn't look any different than he's playing, you know, trying to break 59 or in a, you know, trying to win his first tournament or playing well. He is comfortable being where he's at, and that is the greatest gift that he has.
Right.
It's not so much his golf swing, even though he has a great golf swing, and he's learned to be a good putter, but it begins with his mindset, and he's doing a remarkable job at every level he ascends to.
And now he's got that learning experience from back on the web.com. You know,
absolutely. This is at every step. So at every level, he's, you know, whether with his success he's learning and with his adversities he's learning.
Yeah. Okay, let's turn to the other side of it. Obviously, the Americans came in with a lot of goals in mind. I mean, you know, Steve Stricker said he wanted them to win this session. They didn't, but... you know, that being one, you know, they were going for the all-time record, which I believe was held at the 67 Ryder Cup by the Americans back then. I think it was 23.5 points, if I remember rightly.
Right.
You know, they had all these goals coming in, and I guess, you know, both as much as they had the fire to do that, the internationals probably had a fire to stop them from doing that.
Absolutely. And you know, the thing is, with you look at this lineup on paper, let's just look at it on paper, and the U.S. team, you know, right from the get-go, they had just such a remarkable team.
Sure.
And you know, you put the international team on paper, and they got a real good team, too, but obviously, as you get down the list, there is some, you know, the depth isn't as strong on the international side.
Sure.
But at the same time, both on paper, that team has to perform, and the international team, they have to perform as well. When you look at the potential on the U.S. side, they all performed so well.
Yeah.
So, you know, the best players on the international team didn't perform well. Jason Day was nowhere to be seen until it was all over.
Mm-hmm.
Where was, Adam Scott?
Yeah.
You know, where are the best players?
Yeah.
They weren't there. The best players at in the heart of the battle of it was Adam Hadwin.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it became lopsided based on performance. The U.S. went in there and dominated performance, and they stifled and absolutely eliminated any hope the international team had. So they went in there and they dominated, and, you know, often that's what the Americans do.
Well, one of the things that I've noticed is that this weekend, the American team, for all the talent that they've had, and that's obviously a big part of why they've been so successful. But the other side of it is that they reminded me a lot of a European team in the Ryder Cup, just because they were, you know, so pumped up.
Yeah, and I think where it comes from is the American team for the past, even though they won the last Ryder Cup, I think they've gotten tired of being beaten.
Right.
You know, they got tired of you know, making excuses and not performing, and I think they did something about it. They were highly motivated, and no one wants to be on that team that loses, and they've got a lot to lose, and they're given their talent. If they're able to get off to a great start that they did, boy, they're pretty unstoppable.
Well, in a lot of ways, you know, when you look back at the Ryder Cup, for example, you know, guys like Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, you know, these young guys on the American team, they're not for lack of a better term, sullied by what happened in the Ryder Cup. You know, they're they seem to be. I mean, they're away from that. They're just starting, really. You know, and they don't seem to be bothered by, you know, that recent history. You know, it's like they just seem to be motivated. They enjoy each other's company, is what I took out of it.
Well, they do, and they're really remarkable in being able to stay present. You know, they didn't have that emotional connection to, like Phil does. He, you know, being a part of those teams that had those horrific losses.
Right.
But they do have enough of the reminders from the media and stories of the past, or perhaps when they were watching.
Sure.
They understand it. But, you know, we're watching these young guys play, and they are very able to stay present and in the moment that we constantly talk about, and it allows them to, you know, optimize their performance, and they don't look back and they don't look forward. They get the job done now, and it's a treat to watch.
Is this weekend, you know, this President's Cup in particular, is it almost like a springboard into the future? You know, just because they were so dominant. You know, they know what they can do, if they didn't know coming in anyway. But, you know, now they have that confidence in team play. You know, you always heard that the Americans couldn't get together as a team, blah, blah, blah. You know, is this kind of a positive springboard into the future? I mean, we know the talent is there, but mentally, is this kind of a springboard for them as well?
Well, I think one should or could think so, but in all reality, what's going to happen, the next Ryder Cup in 2 years, or next year, when the Ryder Cup's around, they're going to talk about this team and how they dominated. So the expectation of the American domination is going to be there. And you can bet the European Ryder Cup team is going to play this up, ride their expectations. They're going to want to play the underdog role because underdogs do have a edge in match play.
Sure.
And mark my words, the European team's going to take totally advantage of this, and they're going to try and put the pressure onto the American team. So if they don't get off to a strong start in the Ryder Cup, that it can work in favor of the European team. Mark my words, that's going to happen.
It's a good point because, you know, I mean, obviously the American team has such, you know, in recent years anyway, up until just recently, you know, that record was so bad, you know, and everyone, you know, I mean, got to the point where they had that, you know, the thing after the Tom Watson affair, you know, where they had the, what was it, what did they call it, a task force, I guess, you know, to rethink. I mean, you know, it should be a natural thing, but they had to, you know, make this big, you know,
military thing approach to it.
Yeah, trial by committee, you know, and
it was too bad. And you know, and if the American team didn't win the last Ryder Cup, boy, with the task force in place, they would have really been in trouble. So, you know, the dynamics of every situation is going to be different. Yeah. And, you know, with the success of the American team, expectations only go higher.
Okay.
And it puts pressure on those players. And if they don't get their minds straight, like constantly being in the present moment, if they're tied to expectations, that's when, you know, we're going to watch this very interesting American team in the Ryder Cup next year. We're going to have to watch and see how they do.
It's going to be fun to watch. It's
it always is.
One year to the next, you know, the story is almost spinning itself, isn't it, from New York, you know, into the Ryder Cup. So it's going to be very interesting to watch, but... As always, sir, I appreciate your help on this.
All right, Hutch. Thanks so much. It's always a pleasure being with you.
Okay, Dick, take care.